Welcome to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections Podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Adams. I'm a homeschool graduate and the mother of seven children. My husband, Matt, and I are homeschooling our children on a small hobby farm in Texas. And I'm so glad you've come and joined the podcast. This is going to be part two of a story that my husband, Matt, and I are sharing about the birth of our last child 3 years ago and my near-death experience with that and how the Lord was faithful and took care of us and brought us out of that. And we just want to encourage others who are going through trials that God is faithful. And sometimes in the homeschooling journey, we face these trials, but if God has called us to homeschool, that He will be faithful to carry us in the good times and the bad times. So I'm so glad you're here today, and I hope your heart will be encouraged as we continue to share our story. The Legacy Homeschool Reflections Podcast Bible verse for today is Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Well, we're going to pick up where we left off last time. My husband Matt and I were talking last time about Ella Ruth's birth 3 years ago. She just celebrated her third birthday. It's so hard to believe that our little one is 3 years old, and we just graduated her out of her baby crib into a big girl bed, and she is just blossoming and growing in such a joy. And last time we talked about the emergency cesarean I had with her due to a fibroid in my uterus. And we left off at the place where I was trying to recover. I was in a great deal of pain from this severe cesarean that I had had that was to get the fibroid out and the baby out. And I was just in a kind of pain I had never experienced in my life. It hurt so bad to move, and I was just very weakened by the pregnancy. And we're going to talk and just continue on with the story now. So welcome back to the podcast, Matt.
Thank you, sweetheart. Looking forward to finishing the story. So I guess where we left off, you had just had a baby.
Yes.
And we were excited, but it was a very tough birth with the cesarean and the fibroid and everything.
I remember that last day where we left off, where we thought I was just in a terrible amount of pain from the cesarean, which I was. But right before I started getting sick, I remember the photographer came in and took pictures of Ella Ruth and some pictures of the two of us with Ella Ruth. And this was probably just hours before we found out that our trial had really just begun.
Right. So typically what has happened when in previous births, I would stay at the hospital for a couple nights and then we go home. So you had had the baby, and I did that for a couple nights, but we didn't have somebody that could watch the children forever. So I finally had to go home. And because you'd had a cesarean, you were going to be in the hospital a little bit longer than a normal birth. But after I went home for the night, I guess it was 3 or 4 days after the birth, you began to get sick.
And I think we were supposed to be taking Ella Ruth home from the hospital maybe the next day.
Right.
But I started crashing that night. But hadn't there already been an issue with a doctor coming in saying he was concerned about my blood and I needed a transfusion?
Right. You,
I'd already had one, right?
You'd had a transfusion because you'd lost some blood in the surgery. And you're... There were already some issues going on. Your vitals were not real good. Your heart was beating really fast. It was racing. Your blood pressure was pretty low. and you had edema in your legs. Your legs were extremely swollen. And that wasn't a big concern. You'd had swollen legs in previous pregnancies. This one was some worse, but it wasn't going away. Before, pretty much after you had the baby, it pretty quickly began to go away. So you had some
signs that something was going on.
Right. And but at that point, I guess it was around 4 days, you began to get sick. And, well, you started having diarrhea. And I remember I had gone home for the night, and I guess it was towards the fifth day when you notified me I had to get the baby, that you had been diagnosed with Clostridium difficile colitis, which I'd never heard of. Neither one of us had ever heard of. Didn't know what it was.
Yes.
C. diff is what they call it. And C. diff is one of these super bugs that is pretty much found in hospitals only.
An intestinal bacterial infection.
Right. And the onset of it can happen after taking antibiotics. And they had given you a good bit of antibiotics. And so somewhere in the process in the hospital, your body in a weakened state and taking antibiotics, which harms the good bacteria in your digestive system, this C. diff superbug bacteria took over your system and began to make you very sick. And at that point, it got a little strange. They told us the baby could no longer go to the nursery, and you were there in the middle of the night.
By myself.
By yourself.
And I could hardly move because of the pain of the cesarean, and then I was terribly sick to my intestines, and the baby was in the room with me crying, and I didn't have enough milk to really feed her. My milk hadn't come in, and so it wasn't like I could just sit up in bed and pick her up very easily. So I also had a nurse that was not very compassionate with the situation, and she kind of was just looking at me like, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, could you please feed the baby a bottle? And right. Somehow they eventually, I think, took her and had her stay at the nurse's station or something for part of the night. I just was at their mercy. I really couldn't take care of her.
Right. But because C. diff is very contagious, your room was then quarantined. And because the baby had been in there, the baby could not go in to the nursery with the other babies because it could possibly infect other babies. So it was just a really tough situation. We didn't know about it till after I had already gone home for the night, and it was hard. But I was able to come back the next day, and at that point they told me, you've got to take the baby home.
And I remember after you left with her, which was just so heartbreaking for me, all I had known is we leave the hospital together with our new babies, and we take our new baby home, and the children will be waiting for us and excited to receive their new sibling home, and all of that was being done, but I was staying behind. And a nurse came in, and I remember her telling me, do not let your husband bring the baby back, because if she picks this up, she probably will die. She won't be strong enough to live through this.
Right. So it, I guess at that point is when we begin to realize this was pretty serious. And they gave me some literature to read on this. And it turns out, I believe it was something like 20,000 people a year die from this superbug. And so, but, you know, I didn't think it was something insurmountable. Okay, you've had something, they're treating it, you should be able to get over it and we'll move on. Well, you ended up staying for 9 days. After 9 days, they finally said you could go home. You weren't in very good condition though, but they said you could go home, and that became a bit of a fiasco as well, because they gave me several prescriptions to pick up for you, and it turned out the antibiotics and things for this particular bug are not easily available at most pharmacies. So I believe I took you home, and my sister had come to stay with us at that point. But then I had to leave you and run back into town to one pharmacy, and we're way out of town. I had to run back into Houston to one particular pharmacy that carried this special antibiotic for you. And it was just, it was a nightmare.
And I was on quite a few different medicines.
Right, you were on multiple ones. And I remember calling, trying to get a hold of the GI doctor at that point, saying, what do I do? I can't get the drugs you need. But we eventually got what you needed, and you were home. We set up a recliner in our bedroom so you could sit in it, because at that point you could hardly walk. Your legs were still very swollen, and you were in a lot of pain because of the C-section. But we had help, and through all of this, if I can just say, I'm so grateful for the body of Christ, because the body of Christ came around us and just were so good. So many people from our church, the church we'd been with in the past, different groups of people we've known, and even some people we didn't know were just showing up and bringing food and things. And
people from your work, too.
People from my work mm-hmm. came and mowed our grass. And
it was really a blessing to me that your sister was here that weekend. Right. She was really a help, and I remember her doing laundry, and that was good because I wasn't going to be here for long.
Right, right. So you're here, I think it may have been a Thursday that you came home, and I stayed home Friday and through the weekend.
And I didn't realize how bad I was, because I remember I really pushed it, and I thought of some things that I needed to get from Walmart, and I went to Walmart maybe Saturday or Sunday just for a short trip to get a few things, and thought that I could do this. That was not good judgment on my part, but sometimes we think we can do more than we can, and we just don't realize. But I went to Walmart, and I walked around and got a few things, and I remember feeling so weak in the store. Like, I had just never felt that helpless and weak. Like, I hope I'm going to be okay, because I am really not feeling well. I have got to get out of here.
I think that was actually on Monday, because I'd gone back to
work. Oh, was it Monday?
Yeah,
okay.
I was at work, because I don't think I would have let you.
Okay. Okay. yeah. But your sister was here, so I was able to leave for a short while and thought I could handle this, and it was not a great choice. It really wore me down.
Right. But so I got home from work that Monday night, and you did not look good. One thing I think we noticed at that point was your legs. They were still very, very swollen. In fact, had gotten worse and had become hot to the touch, and were in fact beginning to weep. Just the fluid was starting to they were wet from the fluid. They were just so swollen, and it was looking like an infection or something was coming. So we were getting very nervous about that, and we began trying to get a hold of the doctor. And at that point, your doctor says, you need to come back to the hospital. So we were able at the last minute to get a friend to come over and watch our children. And I loaded you and Ella Ruth up in the van, and we went back to the hospital where the baby had been born, but back into the emergency room. And that was miserable. There were a lot of people in the emergency room. You were feeling very poorly, and we had a little newborn baby with us. You know how emergency rooms are. It can take forever to actually get back to see a doctor. And so we start calling. I'm calling your doctor again and asking her, is there anything you can do? Can we go back to postpartum? Because you are miserable, and this is a very it's a very crowded waiting area in the emergency room. And finally, I believe she did pull some strings and they call you back. And I remember at that point, again, having some anxiety, because when they first bring you back, they take your vitals and your heart is racing and your blood pressure is very low. And I remember one of the nurses kind of looking at the other nurse with this look like, this is not good. It was, your vitals were not good. And one of the concerns was that you could have a blood clot. And so once they did that, they immediately took you back to an area and began to do an ultrasound on your legs looking for a blood clot. And at that point, it was getting very late. And somewhere along there, I decided I better take the baby home. It was too much to, maybe I didn't have everything I needed, but to stay through the night with the baby. And we'd had a friend come over. So I took the baby back home and left you there in the ER. And during the night, I believe they took you to a room and began running a number. Well, within a day or so, you end up in ICU. And I remember this going very fast because I'm at home and you communicate with me that they were going to take you to, I can't remember the name of it, but an area just below ICU. And the next day, I'm heading to the hospital and I call you and you tell me you're actually in ICU. And things were just not looking good. Your body was shutting down. It was having a lot of issues.
I was completely helpless. I couldn't hardly move. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't get in and out of the bed.
And you're still having to go to the bathroom a lot.
I had to have help for all of that, and I was just in great suffering, just sick and in pain and heartbroken, scared.
Right.
Very broken. Like I say in the book, my book, Legacy Reflections of a Homeschooled Homeschooling Mama, we tell the story in this book, and I say I've never been this broken in so many ways, physical and emotional, just crying. It's heartbreaking for a mama to have her baby taken away. So I'd already been in the hospital for 9 days, and Ella Ruth went home without me. Then I got to go home and be reunited for a short while, and then it started all over again.
Right. And again, they were running a lot of tests. So one issue you had is your albumin level, I believe is what it is. It's a protein in your blood that carries water away. And the doctor told us your albumin level was the lowest he'd ever seen in any patient that didn't have liver failure. So that was a problem. They began to give you infusions, like blood transfusions, but they were albumin transfusions. And they had to give you, you ended up, I believe, 4 transfusions through the whole time you were there, of blood transfusions. You also developed this mouth thrush. You had these big white sores in your mouth that was causing you problems, making it difficult for you to eat, and you had to take an additional medication to get rid of that.
Well, and during this process, I wouldn't be able to remember what day or how many days or any of that, but they starved me to give my colon a rest also. So I also had never experienced starvation like that. I had an IV, but I was having such hunger pains, you know, right. Just starving.
And that, I believe they did that because they were going to take a look inside your colon. And so you couldn't eat anything. And that actually leads us up to probably the most difficult day of our lives. You So to describe the way my day was working is, and again, so thankful for the body of Christ, and our friends, Diane and Stuart, were so good to us, just taking care of things for us. I don't even know where people were coming from, but my day, I would get up in the morning after taking care of the baby all night. Someone would show up at my house. You know, I would have a bit of family worship with the children. We'd eat breakfast. Someone would show up and I would go to the hospital. I'd spend the day at the hospital and then I'd come home, take care of the baby all night and do it all over again. And this went on day after day. But I get to the hospital that morning and things are just bustling. They're running a number of tests. They were doing CAT scans. They also found a spot on your liver at one point that they were worried about and began wanted to do a CAT scan on that.
Well, I had so many different doctors coming in on a daily basis, and they were checking out all kinds of things. So then, you know how that works. They see something that may have been there for a long time, and then they think, well, we need to have extensive testing on this. And so I ended up having an MRI, and it was a scare about cancer, and thankfully that turned out okay.
But that day when they decided to look in your colon, it was just one of those mornings with lots of testing going on. And finally they take you back, and I go back there with you, but I have to wait in another waiting area for them to do the procedure. It took a while. And finally, the GI doctor came out, and he comes up to me and says, sit down, let's talk about this. And the first thing he came out of his mouth was, your wife is like an HIV patient. He says, her immunity is so low, she's having trouble fighting off anything. That's why you're having all these problems cropping up. And he says, her colon is in very bad shape, is what he tells me. And he shows me pictures of a black, bleeding, oozing pus of the inside of your colon. And he tells me, the baby, he says the baby was like a cancer that was draining everything from you. And it's left your body in a very, very weak condition. And that's one reason the superbug was allowed to take over. And he says, I had to be extremely careful examining the colon because he was afraid he would rupture it. And that's what happens with this Clostridium C. diff. It actually inflames your colon so bad that it swells and can eventually rupture, and that's what will kill people. But he says, we're going to start some new treatments. He says, one, I'm going to put her on a brand new antibiotic called fidaxomicin, which was designed specifically for C. diff. Turns out to be a very expensive antibiotic. He was going to put you on that. He was going to put you on an anti-inflammatory they use to treat Crohn's disease. And they were going to start feeding you intravenously, give you intravenous nutrition, which meant they had to put a special IV into you. And he says to me, we're going to start these treatments, and there are three outcomes here. He says, either they will work and we will begin to see your health improve. They won't work, and in the next 2 or 3 days, we're going to have to take her colon out. Or before we can do that, your colon is going to rupture and you probably won't make it. And so He shares this news with me, and then he goes on. And you were put under again, so you don't know any of this.
But I did start waking up still in the room where the test was done, and he didn't realize that I was coming up out of the sleep, and I heard him on the phone talking with another doctor, and the things that he was saying were scaring me. Although I didn't know all of those details, he was talking to the other doctor kind of like, we have to be careful, this could be a liability case or something like that. And I was just waking up after being put to sleep, and so I was trying to understand what he was saying, but it didn't settle right with me. It didn't seem right. And so then they rolled me to a recovery area, and I was just crying and crying, and the nurses were trying to comfort me and saying, Mrs. Adams, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And, you know, I was trying through my sobs to just explain that I had a new baby and I wanted to be well and I wanted to be with my children. And they were very tender and sweet. And I remember one of them just saying, you know, we just have to trust God. We just have to trust God. It's going to be okay. And there were several times through this whole ordeal where the Lord brought Christian nurses into my room at just the right moment, because I did have those moments where I was so broken and I couldn't help it. The tears just came, and then a nurse would come in and see me crying. And I remember one nurse came in and she had earbuds in her pocket, and she pulled them out. She said, here, I want you to listen to this. And she put it in my ear. And it was Chris Tomlin singing a song that was going through different attributes of God. My God is this and my God is this. And when she put it in my ear, he was singing, my God is healer. And I just thought, how sweet of the Lord that in my suffering, this was complete suffering, in my suffering, the Lord met me there, and he brought sisters in Christ wearing those nursing uniforms at various points who were able to encourage me. And just, it was a reminder that the Lord was there with me, even though through the nights when you would need to be home and taking care of our other children and feeding our newborn infant bottles through the night, and I would be in the hospital. And you know how it is in the hospital, you can't sleep because people are coming in and out of your room all night. And the Lord was with me, and these Christian nurses were just a sweet reminder. I also had soft hymn music playing on my laptop, and I remember one of my nurses coming in and kind of humming along to one of the hymns. And those things were just really special to see that the Lord was with me. I felt so alone there in the hospital, but the Lord was with me.
Right. And I specifically remember one of those nurses. So after I had been told by the GI doctor what was happening with you, I left and went back to your room and was, I can't describe the emotions that were going through my head at that point. I was just praying, you know, Lord, help my wife. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to handle things if I can't take you home. It was just so scary. And I get back to the room and you're not even there yet. And I just sit there in the room praying, and finally they bring you back in, and it was a very emotional point for you. I think you can tell that I'm pretty shaken up, because I think I remember the question you asked me was, do I have cancer? you were worried that something terrible was wrong with you. And I just said, no, you're going to be okay. And at that point, again, nurses are running in and out. People are all over the place. And we're just looking at each other with tears in our eyes, trying to talk. And this one nurse, I believe her name was Melissa, she looks at us and says, do y'all need a few minutes? And we said, yes. And she just runs everybody out of the room. See, it was just so neat to have somebody that recognized where we were at that point emotionally, and seeing that we needed some time to process what was going on. And she ran everybody out of the room and just left us there alone for a few minutes to talk about it.
You know, during all of this hospital stay, all in all, it was 18 days. I was in the hospital. I had a few sour nurses, but I had some that were just, I had many that were just angelic, just great, just so caring. And that really, really, I saw the ministry of nursing, how when people are in these dire straits, and a nurse can come in and show compassion and love. It's such a ministry.
Right. So thankful for our nurses that take their job that seriously. It's not just a job to them. It really is a ministry.
There's heart behind it.
Right. Right. So that was, it was great to have people like that. Now at that point, they had to start the treatments, and the first thing they needed to do was put a PICC line in your arm, which is a very special IV. It actually goes all the way to your heart, and they begin this intravenous nutrition, which they have to work out. It seemed like it took forever before they actually gave you the nutrition, because they have to examine your particular characteristics and how much of what you need and put the formula together to put in your IV. And they also began the other treatments as well.
So we were on a new path at this point. We were going to pray and seek the Lord and wait this weekend out and see what happened and with these new treatments, if there was improvement. And I guess at that point, we better close this podcast because it is running really long. So I would ask you to come back and hopefully we can finish it up next time. And you will be able to hear a happier ending to all of this, just the faithfulness of the Lord. And so thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to continuing this with you next time. God bless.